thanks for downloading this podcast from RNIB Connect Radio.
Imagine waking up one day, a completely different person, not recognising friends and family, and without any recollection of who you are or where you came from. Now, this may sound like science fiction, but it can be a cruel reality of the 6,000 people in the UK, or 500,000 globally, who contract encephalitis every year. Now, this is a serious condition, and yet the majority of us here know very little about it. Today is World Encephalitis Day, with events taking place around the world. And joining me now to discuss this devastating illness is Dr. Ava Easton, who's Chief Executive of the Encephalitis Society. Hello, Dr. Easton.
Hello, Simon.
Now, what is encephalitis then?
Well, encephalitis is inflammation of the brain. It's a neurological condition that can be caused broadly in one of two ways, either from everyday ordinary infections that people get quite normally, which mount a direct infectious attack on the substance of the brain, or it can be caused by a person's own immune system going wrong and mounting an attack on the brain.
So are certain people more susceptible then to it?
That's a good question. So it can be anybody. It's any gender, any age, for example, any ethnicity. But of course, sometimes this type of condition can affect people whose immune systems are underdeveloped or compromised. So maybe children, or people whose immune systems are beginning to break down, older people. But generally speaking, it affects anybody really, any age.
Tell us more about the symptoms then. I've touched on them, but give us a bit more detail.
So the symptoms can vary depending on the cause of the encephalitis. With an infectious encephalitis, it's important to look out for very severe head pain that continues, head pain like people haven't really experienced before. And people may go on then to experience drifting in and out of consciousness, perhaps, and they may have changes, alterations in their personality and their behaviour. In the autoimmune types of encephalitis, that often has a longer onset and can quite often be mistaken for psychiatric conditions or mental health problems in those early stages before people become acutely unwell.
So is it a condition that can rumble on for a while before you even get it diagnosed?
It can with the autoimmune types, yes. The condition generally is quite difficult to diagnose and manage. And of course, the fact that the two primary causes, either infection or a person's immune system, can present quite differently, only serves, I'm afraid, to complicate the picture even further. The infectious types can come on very quickly and people can be very unwell. And unfortunately, in some cases, dead within 24 to 48 hours.
Quite incredible. And what are the lasting effects then? Can it leave you with health conditions?
Yes, it can. So some people will make a good recovery. Up to 3 in 10 people, depending on the cause of the encephalitis, will unfortunately die from the condition. And those that remain will, in most cases, be left with some form of acquired brain injury. So having a range of difficulties from epilepsy through to memory problems, severe fatigue, or having difficulties with their cognition, the way that they think and process.
So it is treatable, obviously, if it's caught in time.
In most cases, yes. Again, it's complicated. If we know what's causing it, treatment can be given in some cases. In other cases, we can only treat the symptoms and hope that the person's own immune system will do the work that it's built to do. So again, a complicated picture. We can treat in some cases we can't, and some cases we've just got to hope that the person's own body can pull through.
So what could we do then to try and help ourselves be resistant to this?
Well, that's a good question. For most of the causes of encephalitis, there really is nothing that we can do. It's a lottery. It's potluck whether a person is affected or not. There are some ways to prevent certain forms of encephalitis. So, for example, the MMR vaccination would prevent measles encephalitis, as an example. And for people who are thinking about travelling, there are vaccinations that can be taken for forms of encephalitis that don't necessarily occur in the United Kingdom, but which travellers might be susceptible to. And I'm talking there about things like Japanese encephalitis and tick-borne encephalitis.
Now, you're trying to raise awareness around the world today. Tell us a bit about some of the things that are taking place.
Well, we're very excited. Today, the 22nd of February, is World Encephalitis Day, and we're running a global campaign for the fourth year running, which does two things, really. It recognises the impact for those that have been affected, and the second thing is raising awareness among the general public. We're primarily doing two things. We're working with people to illuminate buildings red all around the world. So, for example, we've got Trafalgar Square fountains in London lighting up red tonight. We've got Niagara Falls. We've got the Swan Bell Tower in Perth, Australia. We've got the Peace Bridge that connects Canada and the USA. So buildings, landmark buildings and businesses all around the world lighting up red to help us raise awareness. And we're driving that through our social media. And we're also asking individuals to get involved using the hashtag #RedForWed, taking pictures of themselves in red. And if they go onto our website, either worldencephalitisday.org or encephalitis.info, they can be posting those selfies on there and helping us raise awareness among the general public.
And raising this awareness is well and good. What would you like to come from this?
Well, we'd like to improve the number of people who know what the condition is, or even as a minimum have heard of the condition. We recently surveyed the British public about it, and 2/3 told us that they didn't know what encephalitis was. And of that, 43% of them said that they'd never heard of it. But what was really interesting was when we went back and crunched some of the data, and we said, for those that have heard of it then, for those of you that have heard of it and knew what it was, we asked them to describe it in their own words. And 40% of those people were unable to correctly explain what encephalitis is. So actually that meant, when we looked at it again, that actually 80% of the British public don't know what encephalitis is. And that's what we're trying to change.
And hopefully with more awareness, then we could take more prompt action. Where can we get more information on this?
So get involved today with World Encephalitis Day on worldencephalitisday.org. And if you need support or want to help our charitable purposes in any way, get in touch with our main society website, which is encephalitis.info.
Dr. Ava Easton, it's been very informative and interesting. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Simon.
For more downloads like these, visit rnibconnectradio.org.uk/podcasts.